Today on the School of Podcasting's morning announcements, we answer questions about e-member, we talk about mic in versus line in, we talk about changing your podcast RSS name and the repercussions of that. We're going to talk with Gary Leland, who is making an empire with his podcast, as well as talking about the insane connection you can make with your audience. I've got social proof that everything I've been saying is true. And last but not least, I've got the cure for the podcast blues. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005. I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thanking you so very, very, very much for taking your attention and spending it on me. If you're wondering what are you doing here, you're going to learn about podcasting today, because we talk about all things podcasting here, from planning to promoting to monetizing to recording to everything. Just you name it, because there's one place on the internet that has everything you need to create a successful podcast, and that place is schoolofpodcasting.com. Man, I'm extra fired up today. I don't know what's going on, but I want to have you join the conversation. There's a lot of conversation going on in this podcast today. A lot of different ways you can do it. You can email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. You can use the voicemail button like Kyle did. Wait till you hear about Kyle. Kyle is a great story. He just used the voicemail button. You can also call in your comments. It's 888-563-3228. That is courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com. You can also leave a comment out at our website like Neil did, who said, I really like the Jell-O pudding Bill Cosby bad imitation, which is really bad. And so, Neil, thank you so much for that. And that's out of the website. And I really need to quit drinking so much Mountain Dew. Holy cow, I need to calm down. But I am just fired up today because I've had a really long week. But I've had a really great week just connecting with people and getting to know my audience. And to me, really nothing just trips my trigger than helping people launch a podcast and then seeing them go, hey, Dave, you're not going to believe this. And I always want to go, oh, yeah, I will. But this happened because I did a podcast and this guy, and it's like, yeah, I told you. It's awesome. But I got to start off today. There are two emails now that just about threw me out of my chair. One is the very first back in 2005. I had been putting audio on the intranet, and I had had a newsletter for the better part of, I don't know, 3-4 years, had thousands of subscribers, but I didn't get that much feedback. I took that same information and put a tone of voice to it, okay? And I got my first, and turned it into a podcast, and lo and behold, got my first voicemail from Michael Van Laar from Nuremberg, Germany. And, I'm like, it's me next to the water heater in the basement, and I'm getting voicemail from Germany. It literally knocked me out of my chair. Now, this one is from Kyle, and I was riding a exercise bike at the gym, and I fire up my phone, and I'm reading my email, and it comes in, and it starts off, you know, Dave, this is going to be a longer email, so feel free to keep it unread for a while. You have a pretty reliable 24-hour response time, but there's no need for rush on any of the ideas that I present below. And I'm not going to read you the whole email because I copied and pasted it into Word and it's 4 pages. So let's just stop there. And can we back up a second before we even get into this? This is not about me at all. Now here, I'm in this bad situation again where I can only talk about what I know and what I experience and what other people share with me. And then they say, yeah, you can share that too. But so I'm not here because here's the cool thing. Let me read you this first part. My name is Kyle, and I've been listening to you since I was 16. Okay? That was 7 years ago. Now, here's the really cool thing. And on a side note, it kind of makes you feel old. I discovered the Musicians Cooler, which was the very first podcast I ever did, back when I was in high school and dead set on becoming a rock star with my brand and time. Now, what has happened is Kyle found that podcast, liked that podcast, and meanwhile, time marches on. time, and Kyle graduated high school, went on to college, and is now graduated. And he's kind of an entrepreneur kind of type person. He's got a marketing background, which is really cool because I've said this in the past. And one of the things I've kind of noticed is I might be a great teacher, but I'm not sure I'm the greatest salesman when it comes to saying, look, really, I can help you podcast. But here's just to show you, because I tell people this, and this is my proof, okay? So again, I'm not saying, oh, I'm so good that people follow me. I'm saying, no, you're so good that people will follow you. He says, I discovered the cooler, and now listen to the following of your podcast lineup. And he lists podcasts that don't even exist anymore. The Marketing Musician, School of Podcasting, Power of Podcasting, Podcast Review Show, More Podcast Money, Weekly Web Tools, Music News Podcast. And when I saw that one, I was like, man, this guy's been around a while because that one's been gone a while. Feeding My Faith, Logical Weight Loss, Quiet Study Area, Building a Better Dave. He goes, I don't listen to them, but I was interested in the Jillian Michaels Show and Best of the Worst. I actually did a podcast once that played really horrible music. It was a very strange idea. It was very funny. But I had a hard time with that because I was kind of cracking on people's art. Okay, so that just to me, so let me read this next line. And I'm skipping a bunch of stuff because some of the stuff is just for me and Kyle. But anyway, he says, listening to you has become equally enjoyable as it is educational for me. And I'll sit through a whole episode that I know in capital letters has absolutely no value to me just because I trust what you have to say and I like how you present it. And I always tell people, when you are a podcaster, I think this was what, four episodes again? The three things that every podcaster has, right? Integrity, and you're seen as reliable. And if you don't blow that, people will believe that. In this case, for 7 years. Okay? So again, not so much about me. I'm just pointing out that here is proof in this text that says, I have gained this person's trust. And then a couple paragraphs down, he says, and it's equally strange that you didn't know some kid way out in Arizona was so impacted by your words. We've actually exchanged emails a few times regarding specific questions I had, but never a real conversation. Okay, so again, I get a lot of emails. In fact, I feel bad. Scott Johnson, I just reviewed him on the Computer Tutor podcast. You can find that at Podcast Review Show. And I was emailing with Scott, and he said, you don't remember, we got on Skype, and we did this the one time. And I'm like, wow, my memory is just horrible. And I always feel bad when I forget when I actually spent, 20 minutes with somebody months ago. And I'm like, But anyway, he goes on and says, way down at the bottom, he says, I just want to say thanks, Dave, for being, in quotation here, on the air all these years and sharing the wealth of hard-earned knowledge with anyone and everyone for free. I probably wouldn't be where I am today if I hadn't been listening to your ideas and recommendations since high school. And to me, here's the thing. I mean, seriously, I was in the gym, and I'm going to admit this, right? I literally almost cried when I read this email because as a teacher, your goal is to impact people in a positive fashion. That is my goal. When I want you to leave my classroom better than when you came in it. And so, I mean, I remember once, have I told you the story about the lady that cried? It's a quickie, so hang tight. But this, to me, is if you want to know what makes Dave tick, I was in Columbus, Ohio. We were teaching PowerPoint to a bunch of teachers, and this woman came in. She was 63 years old, just lovely, just picture grandma, right? Grandma who's been teaching forever. She's going to retire in 2 years, and she's crying, and I haven't even started the class yet, and I'm like, what did I do? And she said, I hate these things. I hate these computers. I know I'm going to mess it up. I'm just going to break it. I'm retiring 2 years. I don't know why they're making me do this. Just absolutely dead set against taking this class. I said, okay, what's your name? Okay, I'm Dave. I said, trust me. The only way you can break this thing is if you spill your coffee on it. And so, you're good. It's okay. Come here. I said, I'll tell you what, let's have some fun. I said, do you ever play solitaire? And she said, yeah, I play solitaire with my grandkids. I'm like, great, come here, check this out. And I fire up solitaire on the computer. And I show her how to play. And I say, hey, you know, click the mouse and drag that. And then, okay, you know how to play the game. So just here's how you drag. And here's double click. You just hold, you know, that whole 9 yards. So I showed her how to do that. And she sat there and played a game. I was like, wow, that was pretty cool. And I said, great. I said, because those mouse skills that you have, we're going to use that today. And we're still just going to point and click and drag when we use this program called PowerPoint. And I said, you've got the skills to do it. And she goes, okay, but what are mouse skills? I go, mouse skills are what you have. She goes, I have mouse skills? And I go, yeah. I said, you didn't realize it because you were playing a game. I said, but you can make that mouse do what you want it to do. You have complete control over that mouse now. And she was like, well, yeah, I guess I do. I said, yeah, so hang with me, you know. And by the end of the class, to make a long story short, by the end of the class, I had to pry her off the computer because she was so like, wow, this is really cool. I didn't know this was here. And so I had taken her from literally crying from fear to leaving that classroom to going, I want to play some more. If you want to know what Dave Jackson is about, that's me in a nutshell. And that's from UFA 92. And I remember her very vividly. So when I get an email from Kyle or somebody like that, and I see somebody have an idea about a podcast and I can help them. I'm working with a guy named Neil right now who liked the Jell-O pudding thing. And he was a victim of Blog Talk Radio. And I'm going to be working with Neil to be able to podcast live. I'm working on a couple different systems here. We're trying different things. And I'll be talking about that in the future, by the way. But if you're a person that wants to cry because you're so afraid of podcasting, it sounds so weird and geeky, I'm telling you, that's what I'm here for. Okay? So just to wrap up the whole conversation on Neil, you can make, when I tell you that you can make a connection with people, oh, let me tell you how that story. So I read the email I'm getting my Neil's and Kyle's confused. I got the email from Kyle. I'm riding the bike, and at the bottom he had his phone number, and I didn't, you know, I took 2 seconds to wipe off the bike, and I hit call immediately, and said, "Wow, thank you so much for that email." And what's great is he does have a marketing background, and we're going to kind of do some, you know, scratching my back, you scratch you kind of thing. Has some great ideas and things like that, and. Because he said, I haven't joined the school of podcasting, but I want to give back because you've given me things. And that goes back to the law of reciprocity, right? People want to do nice things for people who have done nice things for them. So when I talk about the law of reciprocity, when I talk about people will see you as an expert, when I say that you will build loyalty, When I say that you know, you will be a trusted friend that people look forward to hearing from. I mean, Kyle is sitting through topics. He's listening to weight loss podcasts. He probably weighs 18 pounds, right? It's true. It is truly, truly, I say to you, podcasting is going to change the world. All right, today's show is going to be a little longer. I know my shows used to be around 20, 30 minutes. They're going to be closer to 45 minutes to an hour because I got another interview today. A great interview. We'll get to that with Gary Leland. But speaking of Kyle, let's bring him on. Kyle has a question.
Hey, Dave. It's Kyle Wilson from ArtistSync.org. I just had a question about WP eMember. It's a membership plugin for WordPress. I've heard you talk about WP Wishlist and eMember, and I know you currently use Digital Access Pass. But WP eMember is a lot cheaper, $50 for the single price and $40 if you bundle it with WP eStore, which I use for single product sales. I was just curious what you thought of WP eMember and if you've had experience with it, why you decided not to use it. I know a big thing for you is dripping content, but it seems like they have that option as well. So just wanted to hear your thoughts. And thanks a lot for all the great podcasts. See you later.
Kyle, thank you so much. Everybody check him out at artistsync.org. And the reason I didn't go with eMember, if I dust off the numerous cobwebs in my head, I originally installed it on morepodcastmoney.com. And for whatever reason, I couldn't get it to email, the email portion where it emails people the, you know, hey, here's your password and things like that, as well as emailing me that some, I just couldn't get that to work. And I know it was me. I know it was definitely something that I wasn't doing or something on my server, because I know other people that use it and love it. And it's also a case of as a guitar player. In fact, let me grab, hold on here. There we go. As a guitar player, I know how to play the guitar, but I don't know how to read music. I know how to read music, but I don't do it very well. In the same way that I know how to run a 4-minute mile, you just put one foot in front of the other fast. I don't do that very well either. So the problem is, every time I try to actually read music and be able to play music, and I'm doing things like, you know, this little music, they're really easy exercises. And meanwhile, I just want to go. I can't do that because I already know how to do that. To sit there and do something that's just painfully, that's just, you know, I just can't take it. So I, instead of going through the learning curve, he said, putting the guitar away, because otherwise I'll never quit playing it. Rather than go through the learning curve of eMember, I'd already heard about DAP, Digital Access Pass. And so if you go to schoolpodcasting.com/digital access pass, it is more expensive, but it's also got a built-in affiliate program. It really does everything. I was working with a client this week who actually heard my podcast about what I use and just said, hey, I'm not doing a podcast thing, but can you help me set up Digital Access Pass? So that was kind of cool. So that's why I don't have anything against it. There's actually a website that if you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/BYOB website, that will actually show you how to build a membership site. It's kind of an e-member. It's actually a really cool website. If you are using the thesis theme and want to dive into the deep end of the pool in terms of coding and things like that, it's actually another membership site. Again, go to schoolofpodcasting.com, BYOB website, and it will actually show you how to use e-member to set up a website, as well as dig into thesis. And if you're using Genesis, it's a really great in-depth website. So you can check that out. But I have nothing against eMember. I was just like, I don't really want to go through another learning curve. Because at that point, I had switched from Wishlist to eMember and had, at the same time, had started playing with DAP. And I just went, hey, you know, I like this better. It's more versatile. And that way. Also had somebody say, email me in on LinkedIn that said, doesn't S2 member, and that's S and the number 2 member, do everything that Digital Access Pass does? And it's free. And the answer is no. Now, if you go to their website, yes, it does. It says you can have a restricted RSS feed. That was the deal breaker for me, because Digital Access Pass, if you want to have a give everybody their own RSS feed and then just have protected content on that, you can do that. Does it automatically? Very, very cool. S2 member says it could do that, and it can't. It just flat out can't, unless something has changed in the past 7 months. But I literally spent a month because I had somebody who just did not want to pay for things. And instead he paid me to go to their forums, answer emails, and there's no phone number for S2 member because it's a free program. And to make a long story short, we could never ever get that to work with we were using a member or something. I forget what the deal was, but I just know S2 member says it can do a lot of stuff that I could never get it to do, and their support was caca poo poo. And so where Digital Access Pass, the main developer just called me one day just to see how things were going. So you get what you pay for when you go with free. So Kyle, hope that answers the question. Again, nothing against it. And like I said, I know people that use it and they don't have the problems I did. I just didn't want to go through another learning curve. So you can check that out. Again, go to schoolofpodcasting.com/eMember. And if you're looking for a quick way to learn it, go to schoolofpodcasting.com/BYOB. And you can find everything that I'm linking to. Go to schoolofpodcasting.com/323. Next question comes from Jefferson Drexler. He says, I'm in pre-production stages of a podcast, which would be Pearls of Fatherly Wisdom, a discussion between my dad and me. He says, I have 25 half-hour podcasts pre-produced already. Very cool. And eventually, otherwise, Christian men and their dads. My question is this. Would it be smart to name it Real Stuff My Dad Says with the website, something like Real Stuff My Dad Says, or is it too similar to the Twitter feed or the sitcom, which was, everybody knows, you know, the S word my dad says. When I'm ready to get the wheels up and running this next couple weeks, I'll definitely be using your Quick Start plan. If you haven't heard about that, the Quick Start plan is really cool. If you don't have a website yet, it's a beautiful plan. This is a win-win. You contact me, put the word Quick Start in the subject line, and we'll kind of email back and forth a little bit. I will send you an affiliate link for my web host, who I use. You can go to schoolofpodcasting.com/hosting if you want to see who that is. And once that affiliate link goes through and I see that I got the commission, I give you a free month to the School of Podcasting. I go in, I set up your WordPress site for you, and I install all the plugins that you need to do a podcast and delete all the stuff that kind of comes standard. So literally in like a day and a half, all you need to do is throw up some graphics and start putting in your content. And of course, you've got all the step-by-step tutorials. So the question is, what do I name this? Do I want to name it, you know, Real Stuff My Dad Says, or Pearls of Fatherly Wisdom? And to this, I give you two schools of thought. Number one, ask your friends, ask your family, and don't say which one do you like better. Say this: what do you think of when you hear Pearls of Fatherly Wisdom? What comes to mind? Then ask them, what comes to mind when you hear the phrase Real Stuff My Dad Says? And see what they say. And see which one better matches what your content is. Okay, so that's something you could do. Now, the other thing, Real Stuff My Dad Says, to me, makes it sound like it's all about your dad. Right? Real Stuff My Dad Says. And so, I guess because that is the word my in there, and where Pearls of Fatherly Wisdom is a little more open-ended, could be about your dad, could be about anybody's dad kind of thing. That's just my opinion, and that's the whole fun thing. Everybody's going to have an opinion on that, and you can ask your friends and family about that. Also, big, big, big thing that will probably decide this, see what website is available. And if you see a website is available and you're thinking, hey, this might be the name, buy it. Buy it. You can go to schoolofpodcasting.com/domain check and buy it. And the reason I say that, I know numerous people that have found a domain name and they're like, great, the domain name's available. That's what we're going to call it. They go back, they record the podcast, they wait for the microphone to show up, they do a couple test shows, and a week and a half later, they go to get the domain name and yeah, it's gone. They're only like $13 a year. If you buy it and you decide later on a different domain name, you just let it go. And it's, you know, you wasted $1 a month. So be very, very cautious with that. So, but I would go and see which domain name is available. And sometimes, a lot of times, you have to tack on something like radio or show or podcast, whatever you want to do. I would avoid abbreviating your name. So if it was Real Stuff My Dad Says, don't make it rsmds.com. You're going to miss out on Google juice. And it just, rsmds doesn't really roll off the tongue. Neither does POFW, POFWA, right? That doesn't work. So look at that. Now, the other thing you can do is type in those two phrases and see what other websites come up. There might be a lot of traffic around those kinds of words. You can use the Google AdWords tool. I'll put a link to that out in the show notes and put in those words and see which one is more popular, because you kind of want to play in traffic. So you're looking for words that are popular but don't have a ton of traffic, so you can be kind of a big fish in a small pond, things like that. So those are some ideas, but the one that usually, for me at least, dictates what I'm going to call the podcast, because I'll come up with a couple, is I go look at domain names. And when I see a domain and I'm like, oh, good, that one's available and the other two aren't, guess what? We're calling it that. So thank you, Airplane, for interrupting in the back. So yeah, if you want to check that out, go to schoolofpodcasting.com/domain check. And that uses GoDaddy. I'm not a huge fan of GoDaddy advertisement. I think they're rather juvenile. And but I do love them for domains, because especially if you have a lot of domain names, they have some great discounts and things like that. Do not use them for anything else but domain names. Don't buy hosting. Don't buy this. Don't buy the email stuff. Because when you go through my host, you're going to get unlimited bandwidth, unlimited storage. You're going to have unlimited emails. And if you buy, I think it's the baby package, you actually have unlimited websites. You can have multiple websites for like $7 a month. It's crazy. All right, next up, how are we doing here? Okay, good. We have Gene Despopoli. I probably just butchered your name. We'll just call him Gene. Gene the Dancing Machine. Dave, I have an Audio-Technica 2100 USB XLR microphone. That's a great microphone. I love it. You can find it if you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/2100. It's only $49. He says, I see that when I connect it into the line in, key point, on my Zoom H1 recorder, it records basically caca poo poo, no appreciable value. I assume because the blue light is on the mic is not lit up. Yeah, that mic needs some power too. So if the blue light's not on, it's not on. So depending on that mic is meant to be plugged in via USB or plugged in into a mixer. But at any rate, it's not working. He says, would a different portable recorder such as the Eteral or the Zoom H2 H4 work better for this? I'm trying to create a portable setup for what I can when I'm away from home. Well, number one, if you're in a quiet room, the H1 isn't horrible. I mean, yes, it's a condenser microphone, but you know, if you're in a quiet room, I've heard some stuff with the H1 and it's not horrible. A better way to go might be just if you have a laptop, just go USB right to the computer. Not my favorite setup, but if as long as you're not running Skype and playing games and all this other stuff on the computer at the same time. For years, I recorded directly to my PC. It's not my favorite thing because I did lose an episode or two. But if you are on a traveling around, that would be another way to do it. The other way would be there is a little baby Behringer mixer. It's like $37 and it's just got spot for one microphone. So if it's just you, you could easily do that. Just plug a mixer into it. And then what you could do, a line in input is typically made for something from like a CD player or in our case from a mixer. You could go the line out of the mixer and get an RCA jack to 1/8 inch and go right into that. So that would be my suggestion. Usually when you're using, if you're not going to use it for the USB option and you're doing what's called XLR, that's the plug with like the three little holes in it. You need a mixer. It's usually mic mixer combination or USB, and you've kind of went mic recorder. And so we're kind of missing the mixer in that piece. That would be, in my opinion, the easiest fix, because that mixer also is about the size of your hand. I've seen them. They're really, really tiny. So you could fit that in the case with your microphone and go that route. I kind of looked up the specs here. And on the Zoom H1, it does say it has an 1/8 inch external mic input. And when I looked at the ATR 2100, it just says it requires a USB. If you're using it USB, you have to provide it with the, whatever it is, 5 volts. It doesn't say anything about, because it's a dynamic mic, so it should need any kind of phantom power to that. So I would check to see, I'm assuming you're using the XLR to 1/8 inch mic jack kind of thing. So if that's the way you're hooking it up, I will say that is not, from my experience working with people, has not been the most reliable type of setup, where you're going straight mic, external mic into the portable recorder. I had somebody else once that did a similar setup. It wasn't the 2100, but they had a microphone, and that line in jack is stereo. And for whatever reason, when they plugged the microphone in, it recorded their voice on both left and right channel, but it was what's called out of phase. And so it ended up sounding really horrible. And so the person would have to take their file, go in and delete either the left or right channel. It was really kind of a weird thing. And it just, again, had to go with the fact that they were going straight from the mic into the portable recorder. And for me, at least, it seems to be a little weird. My microphone goes into a mixer, goes out of the line in, and goes right into the line input of the Edirol. I'll have to look and see if I have an XLR to eighth inch converter, that kind of cable, and see if that would go into the mic in. Because Edirol has a line input and then a specific mic input. But according to the specs, you know, so does the H1. So not really sure, but probably, you know, if you've got it in the cards and it's just you, I'd go with a little $37 Behringer one input kind of mixer. That would get you through that way. Or just go USB into a laptop. All right, last question before we get to the conversation with Gary. He says, this is from you, my buddy in Germany. He's written in before. And he says, I noticed that all of you, and he wrote this to myself, Daniel Lewis, Cliff Ravenscraft, and a number of other podcast guys, which you can find all of us at podcastsaboutpodcasting.com. And I've recently updated that because a lot of podcasts about podcasting have podfaded. In fact, one made it to episode 2 and then quit. So I say that again from my life experience, that if you're worried about starting a podcast and you go, oh, other people are doing it, you can see where there are a lot of people that haven't had, I know one hasn't had an episode out since May. There are a bunch that haven't had any episodes out since 2011. So just because there are other episodes, other podcasts on your subject, doesn't mean they're still putting out stuff. So, but he says, I just want to let you know that if you change your title in your RSS feed. So what I did was I had heard that it was either iTunes or the podcast app, one of the two, that if you search for my name, none of my podcasts came up. None. Zero. And so they said it was only searching like the title. So I added, you know, with Dave Jackson or something like that to my title. Well, you let us know here. I wanted to let you know that this creates side effects for some of your subscribers that you may not be aware of. He says, my podcatcher is Rhythmbox, a popular media player on many Unix-like operating systems. He says, I know we constitute only a marginal number of listeners, but maybe there is other software out there that behaves similarly. Rhythmbox downloads podcasts I'm subscribed to my laptop. For each show, it generates a folder into which it stores the relative episodes. And guess what? It uses the RSS feed name for the folder. So when I change the name to the RSS feed, or I added in this case my name, it created a new folder. So it created, you know, and then downloaded the podcast to those. He says, every time you change your RSS title, end up with another folder for the same show. Not a huge problem. I can merge the folders using the new name and everything is fine. But in my case, I then sync these folders with my MP3 player. So every time I have to do the same on the MP3 player or change my syncing script, again, not a big problem, but it is a small nuisance. So sorry about that. I was unaware. I'm glad you told me that. And I will try to avoid doing... I was going to go in and take my name off. I probably should, because I've heard that bug has been fixed. But if I do anything like that in the future, I will let you know that I've just made your life more difficult. I will try to do it without driving you crazy. Hey, if you would like to be seen as an expert, if you would like to know more about your customers, if you would like to reach a global audience, if you would like to find like-minded people, if you would like to change your world, I got a website for you, schoolofpodcasting.com. Click on the join button and use the coupon code LISTENER and save 30% off. That's right, because everything you need to create a successful podcast is at the schoolofpodcasting.com. We've got step-by-step tutorials. We've got resources. And today we're going to be talking to Gary Leland. And you'll hear me talk about this, that he is a self-proclaimed kind of, I'm not a technical guy. And it's about 25 minutes. And here's what you're going to learn. Keep your eyes open for this. Number one, Gary does video podcasts. He's done audio podcasts, but this one he's really talking about. Most of the stuff here is on a fastpitch.tv, and he's created really an empire, and he is the authority now. So you're going to hear him how podcasting led him to be seen as an authority. Podcast has led to his online store that is designed for fast pitch softball, sales have gone up. You're going to see how opportunities have come Gary's way. Why? Because of his podcast, because he's been seen as an expert. You will see where he has had networking opportunities. And Gary has interviewed, you'll hear him mention, numerous Olympic athletes. And so Gary has now taken it to another step. He started an iPad magazine, for lack of a better phrase. And the great thing is he was able to put that together based on the connections he made and the athletes he knows. And because he's seen as an expert from what? His podcast. And Gary's not a giant nerd. He's a really great guy. And here is Gary's story. Well, joining me via Skype, he's worn many hats over the years. He is the man behind Podcast Pickle, the podcast directory. He was the man behind Today in Podcasting. And what's kind of interesting is, Gary, would you say you were kind of the not tech guy on Today in Podcasting? Is that accurate?
I was definitely the not tech guy. I would ask questions that were very rudimentary. But, you know, whenever I would go to speak somewhere, and I was through, people would always come up to me and say, I love that show and you're my favorite person because you ask the questions that everybody else on the show just breezes right over because you don't know it either.
That's right. You are the average Joe, but you're not the average guy. What's the beautiful thing, what you're here to talk about, is behind the scenes, you've been creating an empire, promoting yourself with podcasting. So Gary Leland, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, no, I'm glad to be on the show. You know, talking about Today in Podcasting, though, one of the reasons I like that show so much is I always learn something that I could put into effect when the show was over.
There you go. What were you doing before Podcast Pickle?
I was in the wallpaper business. I owned a wallpaper store. I had the biggest wallpaper store in Texas. I had that for 10, 20 years. And then about 10 years ago in 2000, I got into the sporting goods business. When I say sporting goods, strictly softball, baseball, and 90% softball. And that's I was doing mostly softball. My wife took over the wallpaper business. I was doing softball.
Okay.
Retail softball. I had actually the first website on the internet that was strictly a fast pitch softball website, equipment website. You know, and overnight we became a success. There were lots of baseball websites that sold some softball equipment. There were lots of slow pitch softball, but there wasn't a girls fast pitch website. And I had girls that played fast pitch softball. So I created a website.
So that's, again, goes back to the power of the niche. It's not just softball. It's not slow pitch. It's fast pitch girls softball. So it's that niche.
It was a very precise niche. As a matter of fact, when I started it, first time I really noticed we were making any money off it, we did $5,000. I think within a year, we were doing $50,000 a month. So it grew really fast. Wow. And people would call from all over the country going, I've never seen anything like this. A website for fast pitch softball equipment. Now there's tons of them. You know what, Dave, you'll laugh at this. When I started my wallpaper website, lelandswallpaper.com, it was kind of like, I guess marketing on the internet was so new back then. All my manufacturers and the reps all told me I was stupid as could be, that no one would buy stuff on the internet. That's how long ago I got it. So I'm the guy who didn't know anything on the show, but I've been doing this a long time. Yeah. You know, but that's what everybody told me. He said I was stupid. I was wasting my time. No one would buy stuff on the internet. And I kept going, I think they will. I would do. I would.
Well, and now you've turned that into fastpitch.tv. And I tell you what, it's an amazing site. You've got a lot of things going over there. So tell us a little bit about, because it looks like you've got, how many podcasts do you have about Fast Pitch?
Well, I've got like 6 videos, I guess, and then 1 audio, and then a bunch of blogs. You know, so actually it's, we call it the Fast Pitch TV Network. In 2007, that I was the king of the pod faders. So many of them, I would start and quit. And then one day, you know, I was in the kitchen and sporting goods, softball sporting goods was my business. And I took out a crummy camera we had and laid we had made an iPhone app that was a little pitch counter. I laid it on the kitchen counter and set my camera up and first episode was how to use my iPhone app. Just it was just my phone and me talking in the background. And from there, you know, it took me forever to edit it. And from there, I started one thing to another. And now I said it's all these shows and blogs and stuff. But, you know, what it's really done for me, Dave, it's really allowed me. I'm not on my shows very long. You know, I'm in there for a 2 or 3 minute introducing an interview or a clinic or something. And then I come back on when it's over saying thanks for watching, blah, 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 blah. So I personally am not in front of the camera a ton, but it's kind of created, made me an authority. And I'm real big on that, becoming an authority. And the things that have happened to me and my business because I'm an authority. Now, that's the real amazing part there, what being an authority has done for me more than anything else. And that authority has come because people see me with their eyes. They don't hear me. And I think that has more power. And not that there's anything wrong with audio. I've done tons of audio. But I think that has more power. And then they recognize me later. And, okay. And when I go to anywhere softball, like I went up to the College World Series and went and took some shots in the Hall of Fame. And when you come out of the College World Series, there's a little gift shop up there. Or out of the Hall of Fame, there's a little gift shop. I walked 3 feet out of there, and some guy walks up and goes, are you Gary with Fast Pitch TV? With his daughter? I was like, yeah. And he goes, I love your show, blah, blah, blah. I make it another 4 feet. Someone else stopped me. I don't even make it out of the door before another person stops me. So in my little niche, from me being visible, it really makes a difference when I go out in public in my arena. You mm-hmm. know? And then, you know, now I get press passes to the World Series, College World Series, Pro World Series, the World Cup. I'm really upset softball's not in the Olympics anymore because I know I would have Olympic press passes because I'm so in with the guys from the International Softball Federation. You know, now wow. I'm state director for softball in Texas, heading up who runs tournaments. You know, and that kind of fits right in. It's my vertical platform there, everything that's going on, and the shows and the magazine we just started. You know, there's a lot of stuff there, really, that I'm doing. If people really want to see everything I'm doing, I think the easiest way, and I don't have everything on there, I haven't updated, is to go to GaryLeland.com.
Awesome. And Leland is LELAND.com. Mm-hmm. And so you're saying that all the stuff that you just, like, state, what did you say? You're a state representative?
I'm a state director. For okay. U-Trip softball. But last year, they had a pro exhibition game here. I called them and said, hey, can I have some press passes? And sure, that's never an issue. I went out there, and I'm on the field, and this guy comes down who I'd met at the College World Series and at the World Cup and says, hey, wave me over. And I come over and go, yeah, can I help you? And he goes, how would you feel about being the state director of Texas for softball? I was like, okay. Okay, I said, does it pay anything? You know, I'm busy enough. I don't have time to do volunteer work. He goes, right. Yeah, it pays real well. I said, yeah, I would be open to it. I'm open to about anything. He goes, well, you got to, he goes, we need you to come up to the suite and meet Don, and he's the president of the whole association. And he ran by what it was. And it was, I said, well, that's a really good deal. Yeah, I'll do that. So, you know, what that does is I run. If anyone wants to have a tournament in Texas in fast pitch softball, I have to approve it. And also, if you go to any of those tournament websites on the U-Trip site, their page has my stuff on it now. It has links to my shows because I have a director's statement down at the bottom of every show. So, and like I said, and I get paid on every team that signs up to play softball. And that came because of my being an authority, looked at as authority and, you know, being visible. A lot of opportunities like that have come.
Well, that, and I remember I talked to you a couple of years ago, and I think you were interviewing Olympic athletes back then.
Yeah, my goal is I have a website. One of my websites is usafastpitch.com, and mm-hmm. I'm trying to interview every Olympian, softball Olympian from the USA. And I probably have done half of them. There's probably 30, 36, something like that, and I've probably done about half of them. The first two Olympian, I pretty much got all the last two Olympics done. It's the first two, you know, that I'm having trouble with tracking some of those people down, you know, but anytime I'm at a national event and I see one, you know, I go over and get her interview and I put her on my show, of course. And then I put her on that website. You know, every time I was doing research to interview someone, an Olympian, I would have a hard time finding stuff. So I just decided to create a website, usafastpitch.com, that has everybody's bio. I just go to my website and there's the information I gathered. And then I add the videos to that.
Well, and the thing I noticed when I was watching your videos, as much as it's an opportunity, obviously, to go back to the original thing that started this whole thing, which was softballjunk.com, right? That's your original website. You don't hit people over the head with it. It's just like, hey, welcome to, you know, whatever the name of the show is, brought to you by softballjunk.com. It's just a little mention at the beginning is pretty much what I saw. Is that how you handle it?
Well, we do run a 30-second commercial. My show is a little intro for 10 to 20 seconds. And then I come on and talk for 2 minutes, and I say, we'll go to the interview right after this word from my sponsor, and then a commercial comes up. Ah. And that's where we have a commercial appointment, and that's a nice place for a break because I'm going into another thing. I'm not in my studio right. anymore, so we do a 30-second commercial there, and then we do the interview, which could be 15 minutes. And when the interview's over, we do another 30-second commercial, and then we come back to the studio. Most of the time, the two commercials are mine, but I have sold them quite, and I've done real well off of them. My rates are really high, and some people see the worth of it. So sometimes they're sold, sometimes they're mine, but one's always mine. I've never had two sponsors at the same time.
How do you determine, like, is everything on YouTube and then some of it on Libsyn, or how do you determine where you host all your media?
Well, I host it mainly at YouTube and Libsyn. I host it all at both spots. I was doing Libsyn mostly, but now I just do Libsyn for the app, you know, because I got that app through them. And that's the feed I use for my podcast and iTunes. Stuff. Yeah. But yeah, I switched, as a matter of fact, last week, all my videos on the sites. I still have to do a couple shows, but I just finished Fast Pitch TV, which takes a while to do because there's over 200 episodes now. I switched them all from Libsyn feeds to YouTube feeds. And the reason I did that is, number one, I think you get more ranking on YouTube by the amount of people see your show and do stuff to it, like it or whatever, where you don't get any extra things from Libsyn. I think under Fast Pitch Softball, I may have the most subscribers of anybody. We're like 1,600-1,700 now, which is not a lot, but in my genre, it is.
The cool thing is with PowerPress, you can go ahead and put the link to Libsyn there, but not have it show up on your website, and then put the YouTube player there on your website. So if anybody's on your website, they can play it on YouTube. And if they're subscribing, you know, in iTunes, then they can get the Libsyn download.
You know, the thing is I want to also come into, which I think is real important. I don't make my money really off of, you know, my show off of the way a lot of people do, you know, affiliates or banner ads or things like that for the most part. But the most of my income from my show is derived from my website itself, from softballjunk.com. I'm a pretty open person. My life's on Facebook. I'm pretty open about everything. But, you know, we were spending last year, I was spending $8,000 to $10,000 a month on AdWords. Mm-hmm. And we probably did $900,000 last year in business. So it's about 10% of my gross business I did on that. Probably in January, I quit all my Google AdWords completely. And now we are, so that saves me $8,000 to $10,000 a month, which is right on the bottom line. So I look at that as extra, as income that I'm making from podcasting. So so that's, let's just be on the low side and say that's $80,000 more I'm making because I'm not using that advertising. I'm using Fast Pitch TV Network as my advertising source. And our sales are up 25%. We're doing way over $1 million now, where we were doing under $1 million. And this is a bad economy. So I'm kind of like saying podcasting advertising works, and I'm really not excited to give up my ads on my show.
Does it ever work out a way, like maybe you talk about a piece of equipment? Do you then see that equipment take a bit of a spike on your website?
Well, I do. I started adding some stuff, new kind of blogs, I guess, the other day. And one of them is the softball training aid review section. Mm-hmm. And all I do on that one is put all the posts are training aids, like a training bat or a training ball. And then I have a description. And then all I have on there is click here to buy. It doesn't say where you're going to. It's not an ad for my company. Just if you're seeing this training aid and this information you like, then have a price, you can click here to find out about buying it. And our training aid business has gone through the roof. I'm just telling you, it's gone through the roof on that. So, and I think that's directly from the training aid review there. And then one of our video shows is softball stuff. and softball stuff show is where I, when I go to national shows, I get manufacturers who I carry their products to give me a review of their product. And so they know it better than I do. So they come over, they're excited to get on the show and push their product. They give me a review of their product. And then I have click to buy it and it comes to my part of the website that carries that product. Now, I don't review anyone whose products I don't sell, because that's right. What I'm doing is I'm using this as an advertising tool. And it's got great information. So it's a win-win deal. I get free advertising. The viewers or users get great free information, you know.
Sure. People are getting the latest on what, you know, tools and techniques and things like that. So it's still educational. And it just happens to be done by a guy that made the product. So who better to show off the equipment?
Right. So and
obviously you said you started off with your iPhone. Where are you at now and how did you figure out, you know, what path to go and what camera was the best one to go with and things like that?
Well, I was over the cameras I go with are Vixias. I got those at Canon Vixias because, you know, Ken Lewis and them are close to me. And so I go to their studio once or twice a month, maybe. Well, right now, I haven't gone very much lately. And I just watch their show and see their stuff and bounce ideas off their heads. And that's what they were using for their show. And so that's what I got for mine.
There you go. And then are you kind of doing her model where you have interns basically do all the editing, or is that something that you're doing? Or
I'm doing all the editing on the videos because I can do those now because of the way I break it down into pieces. Mm-hmm. My time in front of a computer, that's what I call my time, not rendering time when it's doing nothing.
Right.
You know, a lot of people say, oh, it took me 8 hours, but 6 hours was rendering and they weren't working on it. It was just rendering. It probably takes me to come up here, not counting going out on site.
Right.
But for me to come up here and you say, do a show, I can have a show done and uploaded, and it probably takes me 45 minutes of my time because I have the sections built. You know, the commercial's built. I drop everything in place. I have an episode week one, week two, week three, week four.
What are you using to edit all the audio?
Final Cut 7. That works for me. I haven't switched to 10 just because of the learning curve.
What inspired the Cranky Softball Coach?
Well, the Cranky Softball Coach was inspired by the Cranky Geek.
Okay.
I don't know if you're John Dvorak's show.
Yeah.
And I was watching that show and I said, that's funny. I said, a Cranky Coach sounds better. And that's all it took. You know, we had one we took off that didn't work. We had softball blues. And umpires in softball wear blue shirts. They're called blues. So if you want to get their attention, you go, hey, blue. And I was having umpires that would explain rulings. But it wasn't getting much traction. And it was a lot of work to do to track down umpires that would do that in front of the screen. So I just finally took it off. I'll tell you one thing I do. If you look right under Cranky Coach, and this could do a lot better as pay-per-view, which you helped me with. Getting the program to do that with. I can't remember the name, but I've been contacting people who have already got DVDs. Nowadays, they're just not selling quite as well as DVDs used to. And I say, hey, let me put your DVD on here. I put it on and they got to pay $9.95 and they can watch it for, I think I let them watch it for 4 days. And I charge them $9.95 and I split the money with whoever's video it is. And you know, once you do the work, it's there forever. You know?
Right. Well, you mentioned, just to go back a little bit, you mentioned how you did some audio podcasts that you podfaded on as well. What threw your mind, I guess, or when do you decide, yeah, this isn't working for me anymore? How do you know when it's time to podfade?
When I get bored. But everybody used to go, I'm new podcast. What should I do it about? And they used to ask me that for websites. I want to do a website. What should I make it about? And I always would say to both of them, I'd say, what do you like? You know, what do you like to do? What's your hobby? What do you like to? And that's how softball started for me. It was my hobby, you know. So if it's something you like to do, you're going to keep doing it because it's not a job. You like to do it. I don't care what it is. You know, if it's really a job, you're probably, unless you're making a lot of money at it, you're probably going to quit doing it after a while because you go, man, I'm working for free. You just got the wrong mental attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Like you like podcasting. I mean, you really like podcasting. You have a passion for it. And I know you do just from knowing you and listening to your show. So that's why. You do this. You don't do this. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know you like making money, but you don't go, I didn't make any money this week. I don't know if I'm going to do this next week or not. That probably has never come into your mind.
Never. No. My wife thinks I'm weird because I'll be like, well, what are we going to do? I'm like, well, we're going to do this. And she's like, all right, let's just kick back and relax. And I'll kick back and relax and start working on a website. And she goes, I thought you said you're going to relax. I go, I am. This is what I do for fun. And the other thing I want to mention, talk about being on the leading edge. Tell me a little bit about Fast Pitch Illustrated.
Well, that's our newest part of our Fast Pitch Network. Like I said, we're trying to really now build a platform and cover softball completely. I mean, I dominate in media fast pitch softball. And that's all we're doing is building out that fast pitch softball. Fast pitch softball, Fast Pitch Illustrated is our magazine for the iPad. And it's a once a month magazine. And our first issue just came out. It's subscription-based, $12.99 for a year, for 12 issues once a month. And this is really kind of amazing to me, Dave. Paul Colligan sent me the information on this, and I signed up and tried it. And I said, who am I going to do this? I'm a terrible writer. I can't write, can hardly talk. But I said, well, I'm going to just contact some people who, a softball person. I said, because I got all these people's phone numbers on my phone. From being an authority. So I contact probably the number one pitcher in the world for fast pitch softball, Cat Osterman, two-time Olympian. Mm-hmm. I say, Cat, how would you like to write a magazine? She goes, do I get paid or anything? That's the first thing I asked. So I had no problem with that question being asked. And I go, no, I said, I don't have any money to pay you. I said, I can give you a free ad, but I don't have any money to pay you because I just put a lot of money in the software and all the work. She goes, I'll do it. I've always wanted to write a magazine. I got a person who plays international softball. I got the biggest blogger, softball blogger out of Canada. I got all these people that are all super authorities in their field in softball. I have 8 or 9 of them right now. One's in Japan, and they're all writing for me. And most of them, I trade ads because most people who are doing blogs and stuff selling something, mm-hmm. and whether it's lessons, whatever, and I trade them an ad. And it's doing real well. I don't know how many I have sold because I don't keep up with that. I don't look at those numbers. I quit doing that a long time ago with my first podcast. You know when I quit doing that was when Podcast Pickle came out. I remember I came home and told my wife, I said, we got 50 podcasts listed. There are 50 podcasts in the world now. So I quit checking stats a long time ago on stuff like that. I figure if you just do it and you build it. And I think that's what I say in my letter in the opening letter of the newspaper is I'm building it and I'm hoping you're going to come because that's what I just do. I build it and see if you come. If you don't, hopefully I had a good time building it.
And so here you are, this not so technical guy is now the publisher of a magazine. He's the expert in fast pitch. You are Mr. Fast Pitch at this point.
Yeah, I am. I am. It's funny, in my own area here, no one knows who I am. I go walk out to a softball field, the local softball field, nobody knows who I am. But if I go to a national arena, a national mm-hmm. event, I'm very well known. I might be invited up to a suite. No telling, but I'm very well known. But here, nobody knows who I am. There's who's that guy over there? So it's kind of funny, which I enjoy. It's kind of funny. But every once in a while, I'll be in a 7-Eleven or something here even, and some kid will come up and say, hey, Fast Pitch TV show guy, or something like that. And so that's kind of cool. They got to be a Fast Pitch kid, though. No, that doesn't happen. I want to say that you, Dave, though, I've listened to your show for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And I learn a lot from your show. So you give your, like I said, I give my viewers a lot of stuff that's got big value and I make some money off. You give your viewers a lot of stuff, our listeners, because I learn a lot from you, and I call you. You're the guy I call if I got a question on how to do something. I call you. I called you like today I contacted you about something. Right now I'm doing that. What did I talk to you about today? I just started doing because I never do this. So I'm going to try it and see what happens.
Easy Azion plugin. It's a great plugin for WordPress.
I'm sure you got an affiliate code for that. What is it?
Go to schoolofpodcasting.com, Easy Azion.
And I saw this today from someone's blog I knew. I said, what in the heck is that? And so it was like $49. And I bought it, and I was like, this is really good. And so I contacted you and said, hey, do you know about this? And you said, oh, yeah, I got it already. Slow poke. I was like, okay. Better late than to the party than not making it at all.
Oh, there you go. Well, anything else we should talk about before I let you go?
Doing Pickle.tv. I did want to tell you about that before we go. Yeah, I go to so many conferences and tech conferences and meetups that I've started filming them. And I put the conference or the meetup or whatever in its entirety on Pickle.tv. Pickle.tv. And so I'm doing the WordPress meetup I go to once a month. And then I did a emerging tech conference back in July, and I put one episode of that on a week. But we're trying to move into that. We're on with tech there to getting back into tech because I enjoy doing. I go to conferences anyway. I enjoy filming and editing, and I'll figure a way to make money off that hopefully because I like doing it. So if you want to see tech conferences that you don't have to fly somewhere to go see, check out pickle.tv.
So, well, Gary, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show. Hey, Dave, nice talking with you. I appreciate you having me on the show.
All right. Want to, as we head down the door here, want to say thanks to everybody. Thanks to Gene. Thanks to Nino and the Jell-O Pudding and the Kyle and the Jefferson. And, you know, I don't mention this a lot. If you go to schoolpodcasting.com/iTunes, that'll take you where you can click and go right into iTunes. And I always do appreciate the reviews. Want to thank Todd in Miami was the last guy. Said Dave is clearly dedicated to podcasting to help others learn the process of podcasting. He knows the technical sides of things well, and yet his episodes have a style that lets you see his personality sometimes too. This is kind of the guy you just don't learn from, but you also probably want to hang out with. This podcast is what inspired me to do my own. Well, thank you, Todd in Miami. I do want to say this because I know this is Alan. Says it's not often that the non-podcasting wife, aka Studio B producer, thoroughly enjoys a podcast I'm listening to, but this one is an exception. The combination of educational information and personal style makes it work. Keep it up. Well, thank you, Kyle. I deeply appreciate that. So again, if you want to leave a review, helps the show be heard. And you know, it's funny because I started podcasting earlier today, and I see the neighbors. I tricked them. They're just now starting the human sacrifice in the backyard. And if you'd like to start a podcast, I would love to have you. He said he's going to grab the guitar and jam out here. You know, we need to do like the podcast blues, right? I started on Blog Talk, and they stole my feed. I gotta find some place that'll fill all my needs. The School of Podcasting has got videos too. And if I get lost, Dave's gonna get me through, yeah. All right, we're done. Can we fade out now? Class dismissed. We'll see you again real soon with another episode of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. Until then, have a great week. I will see you on the inside. Don't forget the coupon code, LISTENER. And God bless. ¶¶